Hi, and welcome to the Axon Archives, the highest-rated Beast Wars podcast on iTunes. That's how we make it not redundant, where we watch every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast Wars. I'm Daoud.
I'm James.
And this week we are joined by Emmy Award-winning artist Shannon Maynor.
Hi! Yay. Thanks for having me.
Like, finally we have someone who works in animation to tell us how bad this animation is.
Oh, it's very bad. I think it's my second like it. Note.
That is very fair.
Yeah, we actually are the highest rated Beast Wars podcast on iTunes. I double checked this 3 times.
Well, it's good you're not a liar. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, technically there is one that's higher rated because it had more ratings and has a 5 stars, but they're also covering Transformers Prime now, so therefore, my statement is still true, because we're only doing Beast Wars.
True.
Get them on a technicality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, when we have
right
a guest...
Correct is the best kind of correct.
We're all nerds here, right? So, when we have a guest for the first time, mm-hmm. 3 questions we ask. So, when did you first watch Beast Wars?
I watched it when I was a kid, when it was on TV. Like, my brother was into Transformers, but I thought robots were really boring, but I thought dinosaurs were cool, so I would watch Beast Wars with them. And then, for the longest time when I was a kid, I'd get really mad and people were like, look at this truck, that's Optimus Prime. I'm like, that's not a gorilla, you're stupid.
Thank you. Yeah, so I started with Beast Wars also. You didn't see the originals then?
I saw them when I got older, and, like, my brother got annoyed at me thinking that Optimus Prime was a gorilla, just no matter what, so he would, like, started showing me the old cartoons when I got out of my phase of, like, robots are boring, it's stupid, because I'm 5, and he's just like, alright, here you go, here's everything else.
I started off with this, I know I repeat this all the time.
Yeah.
I started with this off when I was super young, since James is probably tired of me like mentioning how young I was every time, I won't mention.
I appreciate it.
I was actually probably older than 5. I don't remember when it came on TV, but I at least remember it.
I was 4. Anyways,
that's not him exaggerating.
No, I actually was. I was it aired in September. I turned 5 a month later.
Mm. Oh wow.
Yeah. So, his favorite character.
It is actually Black Arachnia.
Awesome. Glad we picked this episode for you. Yeah.
It's almost like I have a type.
Yeah. It totally wasn't our intention. So, did you own any of the toys?
I didn't. My brother did. Because, like, again, he had original Transformer toys and Beast War toys. And I think he kind of, like, shifted me to, like, Beast Wars more than original Transformers. Because I tried to play with the regular Transformers and almost break them. And be like, here, this one's a rhino and it only bends 3 times. And, like, you won't break this in half. I'm like, alright, cool, I got it. And it's a rhino, so this is way cooler. And I can't remember who all he had, but I know for a fact he had, I wrote down your name, so I wouldn't remember Rhinox. Because I remember the teeth on the front and just thinking that was cool, and I'd, like, hit it against other toys.
Good way to play with toys.
Yeah. I recently, just doing this show, and we cover the toys when we do a character spotlight, I never had any of the Beast Wars toys as a kid, but now I wanted them. So to eBay I went, I got a full line of the good guys.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I've actually got Daniel Bot right next to me. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's a terrible toy, though, but...
Yeah, the curse of, like... of the Transmetal 2s and, like, all their weird asymmetry.
Asymmetries, yes. Yeah.
That's the word.
Okay. Yes. So, let's get on to the episode. Mm-hmm. So, episode 46, season 3, episode 7, Proving Grounds. Which aired apparently on Valentine's Day, 1989.
Aww.
Aww.
There's better Black Bolt episodes, but...
And this one does get a little back echoed and moves away from, like, the weird love triangle stuff. But...
Yeah, thank God. Oh, yeah, Shannon, like, probably a couple times in the episode we'll refer to Black Bolt. That's our ship name for Black Arachnia and Silver Bolt.
Okay, yeah, I was just like, yeah, the guy from Marvel? Sure.
Once again, that was totally not intentional.
He's not a good character for a podcast, though.
True.
Yeah. So, directed by William Lau. First of two episodes, he'll be directing, offline editor for Mainframe, and still works for Rainmaker, which is what Mainframe became nowadays.
Yeah, currently producing the reboot.
Yeah, and also directed a lot of the Barbie directed video movies. Actually, we've been wondering this. Shannon, can you confirm what an offline editor is?
Yeah, I don't think...
No.
Okay.
Maybe a computer animation term, then.
Yeah, we don't want to, like, bombard you, like, oh, here's all the animation questions to ask, since we don't know how much overlap there is between, like, early 90s CG animation and your current work.
Yeah.
Which I'm willing to get, which more than I think was, like, probably not necessarily a lot of overlap.
I mean, there's more overlap than you think. Like, when I went to school, I have my animation degree is in 2D, but we still had to learn 3D, because they're just like, hey, 2D's dying, but, so, just at least know this. But, hold on. I'm doing a quick Google to see if I can figure this out.
Okay.
And I read it real quick, and I don't understand it, so... Let's see, it's part of the post-production process of filmmaking and television production in which raw footage is copied, and the copy only is then edited, therefore not affecting the camera, original film stock, or videotape.
Okay.
So whatever that means.
I understand about half of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I draw. Oh. I don't deal with editors, except for the fact that, like, my desk is right next to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I can gather from that is basically, They're copying the like from computer animation. They're making a copy of the file of the movie that they're working on, makes changes to it that doesn't affect the master copy.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
I'm a teacher. I've had to explain like complicated like I've had to take stuff that doesn't make sense and explain it to 15-year-olds. So. you should have seen me explaining a wormhole to a bunch of second graders.
that sounds fun.
Oh, they were interested, so made it fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so William Lau will be returning for, I think it was 4 or 5 episodes for Beast Machines. Mm-hmm. This episode was written by Arthur Sellers. I'm assuming no relation to Peter Sellers.
Probably not.
It's the only episode he wrote. He's also written episodes of Max Headroom, Jungle Cubs, The Richard Pryor Show, and a story editor for Max Headroom. Hmm. So I only know Max Headroom from the Pixels movie, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Max Headroom is some things I know of through reputation, but have not actually seen. Probably should. I don't know.
I know he's voiced by one of my favorite voice actors. Matthew Frohrer, he's only one of my favorites because he was in Disney's Hercules.
Oh, nice.
Huh.
Yeah. I like I mentioned before, that's my favorite Disney movie. I know the entire cast.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
So, getting on to the recap. So, we open with some X-ray/wireframe images of Black Arachnia. Maxwell, they're trying to examine her. We'll find out that they're trying to isolate where the Predacon shell program is.
Yeah.
Shannon, I don't know if you remember, a bunch of them are originally Maximal, they got reprogrammed before they woke up.
I don't remember that, but that sounds like something that would happen in Transformers, so I believed it.
Yeah.
Sure. So, Cheetor and Rattrap are unfortunately still their new selves. Last episode, Cheetor hit cyber puberty. So he's a annoying teen.
That explains a lot about why I hated both of them.
Yeah, I put a note like a Cheetor's like, oh god, Cheetor's being horny on main. It's like, please stop.
Yeah.
I just remember the second Rap Trap started talking, because I haven't watched this since I was a kid. I was like, oh, I remember you perfectly, and that's not good, buddy.
He has his moments. Usually not when he's around Black Arachnia, though.
Yeah, this episode he's mostly a jerk, with like one potentially redeeming moment.
Yeah. You know what? We can probably get more into this later on, but I think the reason why he's such a jerk to her is because he trusted Dinobot and ended up getting hurt from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, anyways.
Also, Dinobot didn't shoot at him much before joining the team.
He tried to eat him a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, so as they're all bickering, Rhinox plays dad and tells them to knock it off. They isolated the shell program, which Tranch was put in, and just let her go. Rat Trap and Cheetor once again antagonize her a little bit, and she snaps at them. Mm. I believe choking Rat Trap and pointing a gun at Cheetor.
This is my same note that says same girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rhinox is trying to get rid of the shell program, but unfortunately it might kind of leave her a blank slate.
Black Arachnia, like, overhearing them the whole time in fighter form.
Yeah. In the toy bio, she's supposed to be a ninja. They sort of adapted that to sexy assassin.
Of course they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Optimus asks the other alternative is to basically leave her a Predacon. And he says, kind of, he plays the pronoun game and says, well, it's too much of a risk.
Yeah.
Black Rocket assumes they mean, well, it's too much of a risk to leave her a Predacon, so let's go ahead and blank her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think he'd want to be clear to the person he was talking to.
I feel like Rhinox would have known, like, knows him well enough to know what he means.
Yeah, it's that writing thing, just like, I'm going to purposely obscure things. Like, why would you talk like that? And it's like, well... What's the matter? Like, was someone listening? That's, what are the odds of that?
Yeah. It's like, look, you're giving me an order. I just want to make sure that, like, it's very clear. Why are you talking like someone's overhearing us right now? I'm going to get upset.
So, Bugger hears them and decides to, like, get out of there, you know, not wanting to be lobotomized.
I think I also put a line in my notes, like, Black Arachne is tired of everyone all up in her DMs.
Yeah, this is my second same girl.
Yeah.
So she eventually... Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. So outside the base, the Dinobot 2 sees her and starts stalking her. Mm. And I don't mean that in a DM way. He literally starts, like, stalking her like an animal.
Yeah, like he's a robot raptor, in fact.
Yeah.
I also started laughing really hard at her spider walk cycle, because it's hilarious.
Oh, you should have seen season one.
Oh, yeah, I can vaguely remember. It was just one of those where, like, oh, this is really intense, and she walked away, and I was like, oh, no.
There was one point they put the original Dinobot, like, a little bit too high and to the side, so it looked like he was standing on top of lava, and everyone else was standing on a cliff.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah,
that happened. They had limited time and limited budget. Mm. Anyways. She comes to a swamp and sees her reflection in the water. and she catches a butterfly and reenacts Scar's intro from Lion King.
Yeah, she kind of does.
Yeah.
As soon as she starts talking about the future, I'm like, oh my god, this is Lion King. So she glimpses Dinobot 2 nearby, which for simplicity we call him D2.
Yeah.
She goes to find him, thinking he'll be a good distraction. She ninja swings through the trees. Like, seriously, I've seen this in Naruto.
I was getting really caught up on how copy and pasted all the trees are, and then they just added, like, separate branches and just, like, plooped into place to, like, no, they're totally different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, the background, like, as much as I defend the animation of this show, there's no defending the backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. Skip.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it could be worse. Like, you should, season one, like, in this season, they've gotten a lot better at water. In season one, they had that kind of, like, PlayStation-era, like, texture effect if you look too close to the water.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think water is, like, the first thing to age in CG animation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least they can do water and, like, fire in that point in time.
Yeah.
They have to just superimpose it on the image.
Oh, yeah, there were some bad explosions and bad people on fire.
Oh, God.
So, she lets him... I don't want to play the pronoun game. Black Arachnia lets D2 know she's there.
Yeah.
But then surprises him with a web trap. And but him being, basically a living blender, cuts his way out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like Hunter hunting the hunted. But one of the hunters is, like, Cyborg Claws, unfortunately.
Yeah, this quickly turns into a deadly game of hide and seek.
I think this is in my notes where I figured out that was Dinobot, because again, like, I don't And we talked off mic that I didn't know season 3, so I was just like, why doesn't he have skin?
Go back to the wait, sorry, I almost said the Axelon. Go back to the Ark. The Rat Trap is playing a fighting game, which is basically supposed to be Street Fighter against a recolored Transmetal Megatron it's pre-Beast Wars Megatron's body with Optimus's head on it.
Yeah. Which raises a lot of questions like when did they have video games? When did they have video games featuring them? Did Rat Trap program this? Who knows? Don't think too hard about it.
Yeah, is this like a homebrew? Did they make this?
Yeah.
That's honestly the most logical explanation.
I mean, there's sometimes a lot of downtime. I don't know. Maybe they had like Future Unity or something and he started picking it up.
They're all supposed to be scientists. I'm assuming he has programming skills good enough to make a basic video game.
I mean, Rat Trap, I kind of doubt, is a scientist. He seems a bit more shifty, too shifty for that.
Yeah. Demolition's expert at least.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Zorbo comes in, not being able to find Black Arachnia, basically turns his game off so he can use the sensors.
Mm.
Which he's being mean. Last week we posited the theory that Silverbolt sort of the older stepbrother to the entire crew, and this is kind of what an older stepbrother would do. Turn your game off right in front of you.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The reason I came to this conclusion is that I figured out that the dynamic between Cheetor, Black Arachnia, and Silverbolt is basically Cheetor has a thing for his older brother's girlfriend.
Mm.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he turns off his little brother's video game, and he gets mad.
Mm.
But she looks like she's heading towards Predacon territory, and the way I guess... Nowadays, Predacon territory is anything inside the jamming signal.
Yeah, they use the word jamming zone an awful lot in this episode. It's kind of Dino's just like, lured into the jamming zone. And Black Mirror's just like, I'm stuck in the jamming zone. So it's later, I can't check it. I don't know why it stuck out to me, but they just use the word jamming zone an awful lot. And it seemed weird.
Yeah. Well, they haven't mentioned it in a while. I guess they need to remind the audience.
Yeah, it's repetition. That's good writing, right? Just keep reminding everyone everything that's happening.
You know what? I'm surprised the jamming towers survived the onslaught from the Planet Buster.
Well, he built them in, like, season 2, so that, like, after everything up.
Oh, right. Okay.
But anyways, yeah. Rat Trap kind of assumes the worst and is getting ready to report in Black Arachnia, but Silverbolt, like, says, no, let me go and find her back. That's probably a misunderstanding. And manages to talk him down by bringing him, you trusted Dinobot. He's like, and kind of burned me a couple times, but I guess I'll give it to you this time. So, this is Rat Trap's one non-shitty thing he does in this episode.
Yeah.
Also, is Silverbolt supposed to be acting on a totally different, like, show than everyone else? Because everyone else, they're, like, talking like normal people, and then this dude comes in like a Shakespearean play?
He's
the total... He is the definition of a white knight in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of my notes, dude, I just started calling him Tuxedo Mask.
He kind of is.
Oh, actually, something you'll like. In this episode, this show has a pattern of if someone is acting too white knighty or too pervy on Black Arachnia, karma gets them instantly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can appreciate
usually by getting shot in the face. Or in Cheetor's case that one time, shot straight in the back.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever angle you need.
Yeah.
So, Dinobot and Black Arachnia have officially turned this into a deadly hide-and-seek. She thinks she found him, but it turns out it's just a hologram.
Yeah. Which he reveals in a previous scene, so it doesn't come out of nowhere, just for people playing it along at home.
Yeah.
He does, like, apparently his boar guy does have a telescopic vision function. He sees she's close to the jamming signal and pulls out a little doodad. Turns out to be a hologram projector later on. Yeah.
And I did note a clever girl remark when She gets tricked by the hologram. Also, one when she double tracked them. Lots of clever curling in this episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was a couple episodes ago where they had a bunch of clone cyber raptors, and we didn't make a single Jurassic Park reference.
Yeah. My bad.
I mean it's not just your fault, but yeah. So we're trying to make up for that. So he knocks her out and tries to tries to collapse a tree on him, but he did not go to the Prometheus school of running away from stuff and just set it aside. And turns out her guns are useless against his transmetal 2 armor.
Mm. Yeah, that's what happens when you're still like a Wave 1 toy and like against the newest models.
Yeah.
And she's just a spider and he's like a skinless robot. It's not fair.
Yeah. Eventually, he collapses 2 trees in an X formation right on top of her.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, these things must be redwoods or something, because they're gigantic.
Yeah. But yeah. Apparently not very dense, because they get cut in half very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So she's stuck under a tree, or 2 trees, and he's monologuing about how he's going to pull her head off and get the access code to the Ark out of her brain. And then she shoots him point blank in the shoulder.
Yeah.
But tries to radio Silver Bowl for help, because at this point he's pretty much the only one she actually trusts.
Mm.
Which is kind of nice, considering like that even though basically all of his friends hate her, or from her perspective, all of his friends hate her, she's still willing to trust her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not she should be trusting him, but sometimes it's up for debate.
I mean, he is a lovable dude.
Yes.
And she still has a gun. She'll be fine.
It's true.
So, as we saw when Cheetor became a Transmetal 2, the Transmetals tend to have something supernatural about them.
Yeah.
So weird. Apparently...
In the case of weird energy tendrils repairing him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well... Cheetor sort of used his weird energy tendrils for telekinesis for, like, 1 second.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that was a thing, too. I'm just like, is that because he has, like, half a range spark?
That would make sense, too.
Is that why he heals us? Like, he always, like, heals off-screen because he's, like, a horror movie monster.
Yeah. A horror movie monster crossed with Hannibal Lecter.
Mm.
So just 2 different horror movie monsters.
Yes.
He's still a man.
I mean,
I think.
Well, like, he's a man.
But he's a monster on the inside where it counts.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. He heals very fast. And unfortunately, so now she's inside the jamming tower. Jamming zone. Going against a Transmetal 2 Cyber Raptor. And severely injured.
Mm.
Things are not looking good.
Mm. Yeah, they put a new texture on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silverbolt's tracking sensors don't work inside the. apparently my notes auto-corrected to the Hammond zone.
There's your Jurassic Park reference.
Yeah.
He's flying into the banana.
It's like, I can't hear anything. All I'm hearing is John Williams music.
I didn't think of that. I've been. My mind went to Stargate, actually. General Hammond. his tracking sensors don't work inside the jamming zone. Mm. So he switches back to the regular old tracking descent.
Mm-hmm.
Which, considering how very close to each other they usually stand a lot of the time, I imagine he's got her scent down, just in permanent memory.
Mm. So when did this guy what season did this guy show up?
He should have been 2nd season.
Okay. So I was trying to remember if I remembered a wolf with wings, because that sounds like a thing I should have remembered, because the second he showed up in animal form, I was just like, alright, hold on. That's not a real animal. Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, he's a... He's a fusor, so he's a fusion of 2 different animals. There's only one other one on this show, though, and he's not in this episode.
That is a cool new toy to sell.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I why can't we get Quickstrike on the episodes where we have a guest who doesn't watch the show?
Who's Quickstrike?
He's a cobra scorpion.
Oh, okay.
He's also basically he's also basically like your stereotypical like Texan wrestler.
Of course. Yeah, that makes total sense. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, He's like a desert. He's a desert animal because it's a lot of desert.
Yeah.
That's the connection. That's the headcanon I had as a kid.
He's a double desert.
Yes. No, I don't think cobras live in the desert, but more visually distinctive from a snake for the yes. tail.
Yeah. He's also very shiny and gold.
Mm. Yeah, I also feel it'd be less threatening if it was like a rattlesnake tail because it's just a scorpion that you took away all of its like ability to hurt you and just gave it a rattle.
Actually, in the Japanese dub, the snake tail head has like a mind of its own, so it talks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's why we can't get the Japanese dub here, and I can't. I don't know if anyone out there has tracked it down. Let us know.
Well, and also assuming it also has subs, because then just like I guess you could probably guess those, but it would still be confusing.
Yeah. So, Rattrap, back of the arc, is still playing games, although now he's playing Doom.
Yeah.
With Waspinator instead of zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess that counts for, like, how does Waspinator get taken on this episode? Because he doesn't actually show up in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, right. Shannon, so Rattrap, Dinobot, and Silverbolt are actually all voiced by the same person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Scott McNeil.
Scott McNeil, but Waspinator does not show up in this episode, but he is also voiced by the same guy.
Yeah, he has a lot of range, because one of those voices I liked, the other one I did not.
like Brooklyn Rat?
No! I think I had a note earlier that was like, I'm too old for whatever character trope Rat-Trat is.
He's a rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, they don't know if they just found really good animal forms for themselves, or they took on traits of them, but yeah, he's a rat. Mm-hmm. So, Optimus and Rhinox come in, looking for Black Bolt, but they're not around.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is like one of two times I can actually use Black Bolt in the note, so.
Mm-hmm.
He tells... They're probably in the jamming zone. Tells Rhinox to keep looking. And I think, did he call Cheetor back?
I think so. I mean, like, that part's not important because, like, Cheetor doesn't show.
Yeah.
Just that, like Rattrap has another video game and he gets interrupted again.
Yeah. So Silverbolt is trying to, tries to fly in heroically and sort of reprimand Black Arachnia, but then gets taken hostage by D2. Like I said.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, talk down to Black Arachnia, the plot gets you.
Yeah. Dinobot has him, like, pinned in his, like, doing the Goldfinger thing, like, except, like, just having his laser on low on his face, but so he can still feel it. And then he tells us, like, surrender now, or say goodbye to the object of your twisted affection.
Which is when Black Arachnia takes a page out of Keanu Reeves and Speed's book and gets rid of the hostage.
She's efficient, and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is when Black Arachnia suggests taking Megatron out of the picture with Dinobot's shiny new powers and her access codes.
Yeah, I mean, but not the first time she's tried to bargain. Like, hey, what if we teamed up? It'd be awesome, right?
Where's Tarantulas? Like, she pulls that with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But unfortunately for her, Megatron made sure to program Clone 1's loyalty into D2 and puts her in a stasis field.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Silverbolt finally wakes up and tries to rescue her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when Dinobot just jumps on him. Like he does, like a raptor supposedly would have, as far as we knew in 1999.
Yeah, that is one of the other animation improvements. Original Dinobot didn't actually do any raptor stuff. This is probably really hard to animate. Isn't it really going like, oh yeah, like they have raptors have claws that like rip things to ribbons. Maybe we should use those.
The trick now is now that he's a robot, if things move wrong, it doesn't look as bad because he's a robot, so you can hide it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the G1 robots like were we got to see them for a little while. Like, they were animated way better through CGI because you can explain their weird movements because they're robots.
Yep. They're also really boxy, so it was very easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been one of my complaints about the G1 Transformers for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anyways. So he tries to shred him up, but turns out it's a Silver Bowl hologram.
Yeah. Earlier in the fight, the hologram thing got knocked off to the side, and Silver Bolt saw it on the ground, and it's just like, ha-ha! Chekhov's gun and all that.
Good thing he was watching the episode, too, so he knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right. Oh, I didn't think of that. How would he know what that is? Anyways.
Maybe it's a standard-issue equipment. I don't know.
Silver Bolt shoots D2 off the cliff. He tries to come back up, which is when Black Arachne finishes the job.
Mm-hmm.
I also forgot that her legs were guns, so every time she used that, I forgot. It was just re-delighted.
her toy was actually just a repaint of her original toy. It was a repaint of Tarantulas. So a lot of his gimmicks just got transferred onto her.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We had one of those. I remember having a spider toy, but I can't remember who it was.
Mm. I actually, spoilers for a couple episodes from now. She gets a Transmetal 2 version. I got the toy of that. This thing is gigantic and can't stand. Yeah. So, the Black Bolt has a cute little spat about trust.
Yeah, and what you think Black Bolt would be used to this? He's like, you shot me. Is like, well, if I didn't, he would have blown your head off, which is true.
She makes a lot of good points.
This isn't the first time she shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when they were digging up the Ark? You shot me, but not fatally, which is proves your maximal goodness. That's it. Vital circuits this time.
My next joke was going to be, but did he die? So I'm glad that the show at least was also like, well, I didn't kill you. Look how good I am.
Yeah.
So, Optimus is flying in, during their little fight, she explains what she thinks the Maximals are going to do to her, which is when they see Optimus flying in. And he's like, okay, he's here. We can figure this all out. We can get to the truth. He's like, no, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when he holds her down, and did she shoot him, or how did she get away from him?
She headbutted him. And
yep.
Yes.
And kind of knocks herself out because she's also battle damaged.
Like, oh, that was not a good idea. They're both laying on the ground when Optimus comes in. It's like, you two don't look so good.
Mm.
Silverbolt tries to lie about what happened and just explain that that Dinobot found them, which is when she has had enough with being nice and lying all the time, and just says like, "I heard you were gonna mind wipe me, and I wasn't having it, so I hightailed it out of there." Which is when he says that. Yeah, reprogramming you would turn you back into the bot you were supposed to be before Tarantula's got his hands on you. But it is and always will be your choice.
Yeah. Which is nice, but like I do feel that they're kind of underplaying like the idea of the shell program. It's like if you think of it, it's like very kind of like cyberpunk Ghost in the Shell that like this thing altered you, but you've always been this way, so what would you be without it? Like, that seems like it should be a bigger deal than it is.
Like, it's like a kid's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a personality-altering brain tumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been there with you for so long, it's kind of part of your identity. Oh my god, it's...
Well, to be fair, I would say, like, the shell program isn't going to kill her, but that actually does happen in a later episode.
Yeah. Well, so... I'm pretty sure we all know a few people who have gone through depression and at one point or another stopped taking their meds because they felt it was making them a different person. Not to compare the shell program to depression, but reprogramming her would kind of do the same thing as meds would.
It's a standard like kind of sitcom-y yummy like oh, I only heard the part that I heard didn't hear the whole truth. I walked out right from the one thing, and then, like, oh, okay. But I guess it's a mean to an end for the whole, fighting Death Hunt type thing, which is actually a lot more interesting in the episode.
Yeah, this entire season is way more cartoon sitcom-y than the others, and actually, she didn't even leave at the wrong point in the conversation. They left. They walked out.
They did. They were dramatic.
Yeah.
So he offers to take them both back to base. Silverbolt says, "Well, I'm her commander. I think it's my responsibility." Which is when he turns into, like, continuing the trip pattern of him being actually a good boss. He's like, "Yeah, about that, we need to have a talk. Like, you cannot be her direct superior and her significant other."
That's a conflict of interest.
Yeah. They also don't have, like, that many people to have, like, a command structure, I feel. There's only, like, 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah, and I feel like because there's a small group of them, the only reason Black Ranking is lower than anybody is because she's still a Predacon.
Mm-hmm. But but anyways, it makes up by, like, Silver flies them back, and, my last note has the, like, where she tells him home rover.
So, and yeah, that's the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to say before we get to trivia?
Yeah, it's a good episode, but, like, the middle is much more interesting than the bookends, really. And also, like, I kind of wish it addressed, like, I guess, like, it's kind of like it's a continuing plot, just like the Maximals are kind of being jerks to her. But, like, I kind of wish it, like, kind of got addressed at all in this.
It's definitely addressed a lot more than, like, shows at this point in time would have addressed it, but, like, in the way where it's just, like, a wink from her at the camera, but then no one else addresses it.
Yeah.
And you know what? For, like, the late 90s, that's a lot.
All right, that is fair.
Let me remind everybody, actually, so this, just a reference point for the three of us, this episode was airing during early Lost Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, compared to that, I feel like it's way better, like, this show treats its audience way better than that show did.
Yeah, and she, you know, got to be a character instead of saying, like, 2 words and disappearing for the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's the only female character at this point, so she benefits from that, in that they can kind of put all of the effort for female characters into her.
Yeah.
Really not super great, but unfortunately that's a bad habit of Transformers cartoons.
Yeah.
What? Transformers doesn't have a lot of girl stuff in it? Oh no. Shocking.
They've gotten a bit better about it in like the comics.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard the comics are really good.
Yeah.
My husband's doing a thing where he's rewatching all the Transformer movies because he's just been watching like a bunch of very good movies, and apparently he wants to cleanse his palate. And it's just one of those. I'm like, I don't want this in my house, but I guess you've already brought this evil here.
Yeah, I gave up on those movies after the third one, so maybe Bumblebee will be interesting. I don't know.
Michael Bay is not involved.
The guy from Cube and the Two Strings is behind it.
Yeah, and the girl was framed like an actual human being, which was nice.
Yeah.
And Starscream's there, and he's my favorite Transformer.
Yeah, like, they so got Starscream wrong. Like, not to make this all about, like, play movies, they so got him wrong, and, like, I was real bummed when they just kind of, he gets killed by Spike or Sam in the third one. Just like, really? That's how you're gonna take out Starscream?
He was barely in those movies from my memory. Anyway, but not only that, okay, so, Shannon, I've said this a couple times. Go to the first movie, like that scene where Sam's sort of picking up Michaela. Don't look at the screen. Just listen. Like, the way that scene is written versus how it's framed is two different movies.
Oh, yeah, no, Michaela's a good character. He just doesn't, like, the camera doesn't respect her as a human being.
Yes. thank you, Lindsay Ellis, for
yes, me I love her the whole plate.
Okay. I'm glad we have that reference point. Yeah, so, moving on to, I feel like I got most of my thoughts out during the recap.
Yeah.
Moving on to trivia, so a couple of, the only trivia I really have is the alternate language titles. The French-Canadian, title is Rescue, Italians on the Run, and, the bucking the trend.
Yeah, I saw that. We continue.
Yeah, the Japanese version is Love Typhoon.
Okay. What? Like they watched a very different episode than us.
They did make some changes. It's a way more comedic series there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our trivia, I guess. There's no character spotlight this week because there's no new characters or anyone that's really focused. We're saving Black Arachnia.
Yeah, for like when she gets like her Transmetal 2 body, which is, I think, two more episodes away.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. Well, I just realized I didn't write the next episode preview.
Don't worry, Vamp. While we get to do we have any messages from the Golden Disc?
No, not really, but we did have one more rating on iTunes. We were up to 6 ratings, and we are still 5 stars.
Yay.
Nice.
Okay, so in that case, why don't you do the MVPs, and then we can talk while you write up a preview.
So, Shannon, you're the guest. Who is your most valuable bot?
I think it obviously has to go to Black Arachnia, because it was basically her episode, and she just spent the whole time being really tired of everyone trying to talk to her, and I can just, like, relate to that a lot.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it to Black Arachnia. I actually thought, like, with Proving Grounds, like, oh, is she going to, like, prove the loyalty to Max? I was like, no, like, it's not even about that. She doesn't care about, like, proving it to them. Or just like trying to outwhip Dinobot 2. And I can kind of appreciate just like, yeah, I don't care what any of these guys think about me.
Yeah, I think you made the joke earlier that people were like sliding into her DMs and she's just like deleting every message. She's like, I hate everyone right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they really had no other choice. They got to give the Black Arachnia also.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of the reasons you guys said, but mainly just because it's something I've had something I've griped about during mostly season 2. Black Arachnia has agency again.
Yeah.
Continuing the trend.
Yeah. I will give an honorable mention to Silverbolt bringing back kind of the goofy Black Bolt stuff of season 2 and not like the weird jealousy stuff they've been kind of doing. Even the nice callback, I'm just like, you shot me. It's just like, he would have shot you in the head. That's how it works. Okay. You survived it. What are you complaining about?
Okay, so I got the next. So next episode, the Predacons build a cannon, but decide to go turn to child labor to finish it.
Oh no!
Go with the flow.
That episode. Oof.
Yeah, and go with the flow. And if you're not, that doesn't convince you to listen to the episode. We during our character spotlight for that episode, we'll be talking about the unproduced. Dark? Sorry, well, I just had it up.
Oh, shit. Just to give you an idea,
I got it here. Dark glass.
Yeah. The reason I'm saying oh no is because the focus is they're on prehistoric Earth and they start dealing with protohumans, and the protohuman children that they decide to are not very good looking. Like, I just posted an image from the chat.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's... Yeah. It is...
Yeah.
A bad episode. I get not to give too much away.
Yeah. The episode that this got made instead of, from what we know of it, would have been a lot better and added a lot more mythos to the entire story.
Yeah.
So, any last things to say about before we get to our closing?
I think that's everything. But like, thanks again, like to Shannon for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you for coming on, so I can be nice to you for an hour instead of sticking my foot in my mouth again.
You're fine.
Yeah.
I'm always here to talk about ladies that will shoot everyone.
Yeah.
That is fair. It's a very strong part of the Shannon Maynard brand.
Yep.
Yes. I feel like if you were to have the ability to create real life, and it was one of your characters, it would pretty much be Jake's dream girl.
Yeah, I can see that. I do design a lot of mean girls.
Yeah. So, before we get to our closing, Shannon, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Shannon Maynor. I have an art blog that is shannonmaynorart.tumblr.com. I have a store that is shannonmaynorart.storeenvy.com. It's currently closed right now because I'm in con season and I don't want to sell out my stock before I go to a convention. But it should be open at like the end of the month. And I also have a Patreon that is patreon.com/shannonmaynorart or Shannon Maynor. I don't know. You can figure it out. It's on my Twitter.
I'm actually one of your patrons. Let me check. Because it's always the first one that pops up. Yeah. It's Shannon Maynor.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why, but like when I open the app, it always goes to yours immediately. So Patreon likes you, I guess?
Yeah. Because it knows.
Yeah.
Well, I'm flattered that it likes me so much.
Yeah. Jake says this a lot. Go read The Very Best. It's awesome. And also, if you're a fan of this... actually, why don't you mention some of the podcasts you can
do? Oh, God, I'm so bad at promoting myself. I'm also on... I am also on two podcasts. I'm on Cool Kids Table, where we play tabletop RPGs. It's on Twitter at CKTcast. We're about to start playing Sequinox again in, like, 2 weeks, I think. I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong. Either way, it's the next thing, I think. Yeah. And it's a magical girl thing. And then I'm also on a podcast called Kingdom Smarts, which is on Twitter at Kingdom Smarties, where I explain Kingdom Hearts to my friend Jake, who knows nothing about it.
Yeah, who has also been on this here.
Yeah, Kingdom Smarts is a good time. I've been living in a backlog, but I need to dive into Kingdom Hearts 2, since I know that's when things will get really confusing.
It's so dense. We just got to Olympus Coliseum, and I feel like we've been in this game for 30 years already.
I think I just finished an episode earlier today. Junior Heroes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, sorry. That's not what I listened to. It was, episode 43, so I'm an episode or two behind.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you're wrong about when you start Sequinox, don't worry. We actually record a little bit ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
The magic of time-delayed releases!
Yeah, which only happened because I fell behind on the editing.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's get to our closing. So, thank you for listening to the Axon Archives. If you have any questions, want to guest on the show, or just want to talk about Beast Wars, you can reach the show on Twitter at Axon Archives, or by email at axonarchives@gmail.com. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbean, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. Please leave a rating and review, because it helps people find the show. If you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, the easiest place to review is probably Podknife. Check out the website, axon.buzzsprout.com, where the episodes live. If you want to follow either of us individually on Twitter, I'm at Dalfak.
I'm at Discord on Touring.
Until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or bot, we're still the bad. Sorry, it's been a while since I've edited an episode.